Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the First Congregational Church, I'd like to welcome you here. My name is Andy Burr. I'm the interim pastor here. I would like to extend a particular welcome to those who are joining us online or on Natick Public Television, and let everybody know what I hope you already know, that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. Would you please rise in body or spirit? If we were to stand for 1 minute for every mass shooting just this year, not the number of people who have been killed, just the number of shootings, if we were to stand for 1 minute for each of those, we would be standing for more than 4 hours. Let's take a moment. Thank you. Please be seated. I have changed it up just a little bit. Instead of launching into the prescribed announcements, I've told the tech people that I'm going to add what I'm calling the rogue announcements. I want to share with you some sad news that Chris Gabron, son of Laura and Charles, died yesterday. I don't have any more information other than that, but I'm sure that they would appreciate being kept on your heart and in your prayers. Janet, do you want to be rogue for a minute?
Good morning. I'm Janet Levesque, and I have the pleasure of leading the transition team, which is helping us build a profile to select our next settled pastor. And as if you've been paying attention to your mail, you should have gotten a couple of mailings. We had a little bit of a glitch. We meant to mail you all one of these things, which is a little dream catcher, but we had a little problem with the post office. Long story short, there are baskets of dream catchers in the near the entrances. If you didn't pick one up last Sunday, please feel free to pick one up. There is a survey that we have put together in concert with the Presbyterian Church of the USA, and we've sent out reminders and emails. 89 participants have already started the survey, which is terrific news. Of those 89, 65 of the people have completed them. That means there's about 30 people who have either started it and not finished it or didn't hit the submit button at the end. And we've extended the survey. It was meant to close on Friday, but we've extended it through tomorrow at noon. So if you haven't had an opportunity to complete it, it would be terrific to hear everyone's voice, whether you've been a member of this church for 50 years or if you've just started coming since the pandemic. So I encourage you, if you don't have a link to the survey, it didn't make it into the bulletin because I made a mistake. But there is a QR code that I have printed out. You can come find me at coffee hour and you can scan it. Thank you.
The post office had a problem with us. We're trying to make the slides as accessible as possible. And so we're trying different prints on different backgrounds. And so we'd be interested to hear which is easier for you, what makes it the most accessible for you. You can please see Sarah Lynn or send her an email, which is sarahlynn@firstchurchnatick.org. We're going to be lighting the Christ candle in just a moment. And so for those at home, I invite you to get a candle of your own and be ready to light it with us so that we're all doing the same thing. And to remind you again that that prayer requests can be sent in by email to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. They can be given to an usher who will bring them up for the prayer time, or you can text them to me at 978-790-8250. We will be having a post-worship fellowship, as we often do, downstairs in the vestry. And for those who are at home, there's a Zoom link in the bulletin that you can use in order to get to it. I would love to meet people, more people. I'm generally in the office Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 10 to 3, but often more than that. I hope people will feel free to stop by. My phone number is there. Please feel free to text me or email me or call me, however that works for you. I want to share with you that Jeanette had organized some meet and greets that I met an awful lot of people. That was wonderful. And one participant said, it would be great if you talked to some neighborhood folks, people in the community. And I said to her, that would be great. Tell me when that is and I'll show up. It wasn't this past week, it was the week before. It really was great to hear how members of the community who are not related to this church perceive the church and what can be done in the future. There's Randall, is doing a wonderful job as the temporary church administrator. We are, however, looking for somebody to fill it on a permanent basis, and if you know somebody who's interested, please let them know, and again, they can send it to my email or to fcnadmin@firstchurchnatick.org. So let's light the candle as we do each Sunday. And we light this candle to remind us of Christ's presence with us as we worship, to invoke God's presence with us, and to remind us that we too carry the light of Christ and are called to carry it out those doors and share the light with others.
Good morning. An answer. Please join me in the call to celebration. How shall we describe the concept of the Trinity? In the second person, we discover Jesus, the Redeemer. There are so many ways to describe the work and witness of God.
The Trinity helps us to understand the nature of God.
Please stand for hymn number 329, Now in the Days of Youth.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Spirit of wisdom and hope, we witness your glory in the heavens and hear your call to us. We are sometimes overwhelmed by the thought of your compassionate care. Open our hearts this day to hear and respond in joy to your call, that we may serve you and others faithfully all our days. Please join me in the call to confession. No, okay. Beloved of God, we celebrate the love of God, the ministry of Jesus, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we have been reconciled with God and each other. God has covenanted with us by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who gathers us together and transforms to new life. Knowing that God inspires us to wholeness and grace, let us share with God and each other the ways we have fallen short of God's hope for us. Let us pray together. God of creation, Jesus, our Redeemer and Holy Spirit, our guide and sustainer, hear our prayers this day. We know the many ways in which we have failed to do the tasks which you have set before us. We have often chosen our comfort over service to you. Our fears and doubts lay claim to our lives, and we shrink from the opportunities you give to us. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Lift and restore us to your grace. Put our feet on the pathways of service, offering justice and peace to all. Heal us, O gracious one, for we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice. Don't doubt. God has poured love, hope, and forgiveness on you. You are healed and forgiven in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit empowers you to ministries of healing and hope. Rejoice. Amen.
Good morning. I'm David Coulter. On behalf of the scholarship committee, we are pleased to present the scholarships. The scholarship program here is, we have said for many years, is a covenant between the generations. It's a covenant between the previous generations who donated the funds, the current generation which manages the funds, and the next generation of students who will receive the funds. Previous generations put their faith in future generations, whom they would never know, but trusting that the church would continue to inspire them to lead lives of purpose. We realized that not all student members of this congregation applied for these funds, so we also want to recognize and celebrate and honor those who may not be named here. All of the student members of this congregation deserve our support. Wherever they may be, in a dorm room, classroom, or in front of a remote learning screen, we covenant together as a church to ensure that they know, wherever they are, they have a home here in this congregation. We now recognize, celebrate, and honor this next generation of students who are receiving scholarships today. So if you're here, let me call you up, and we will receive your scholarship funds. Grace, Psyche.
Grace is in the child care room. She's welcomed. Oh, you're gonna take her?
Grace is home.
Oh, okay. Her mother will get her.
Mother, okay. And David, Psyche? He had to work for his scholarship. He did the bell ringing today. Good job. Shannon Foley. Catherine Levesque.
And the Nolan other recipient is...
Yeah, I say, Nolan Palmer, who is not here with us today.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Please...
He's in Colorado, yeah.
Please extend our congratulations to all of them.
All right. Chris, do you want to come up and help me? So, one of our other traditions at First Church Natick is to send off our graduates for our high school graduates with a reminder of the love and support we give to them. So Miles, will you join us up here as well, please? This year we have three graduating seniors, and they have been a joy to be with in youth group, before that in junior youth group, before that in Connect, before that in Godly Play. I've known these young people, really young adults now, for a long time, and I can't be more proud of all of them. Normally, at this point, I would give each of you a huge hug, but I can't do that because of COVID. You're not gonna want me to hug you now. And so we send you with a representation of that hug from me and from the entire church congregation with a blanket that you can take with you wherever you are going in this next coming year and in the years to come. And so Miles, we'll miss you and all of the best. David, we wish you success and all of the best. And Kate, to you also, knowing that you're going all the way across the country, we will miss you all. But we send you with love and support. Let's give them a round. Okay. All right.
I have it on good authority that outside of worship, those are referred to as Jesus blankets. If you look around, there are people wearing masks. If you look around, there are people sitting distant from one another. I hope we can respect all those differences while we share the peace of Christ with each other. The peace of Christ be with you.
Did you see the prayer I left?
I did.
Okay, thanks. That came in by email. Thank you.
an exciting day. Oh, Chris, come on up.
Chris, let's have the children come forward, too, because they want a front row seat.
Let's have the children come forward.
All the children come up, and you can sit right here on this front row.
And we won't ask you any questions, I promise. While they are coming up, I would like to invite Peter, who's about to be confirmed, his parents, Lynn and Pedro, his sister, Maya, and his grandmother, Lydia.
Do you guys want to sit right here on the floor? Okay, so we are, actually, can I have the microphone? I'll just go here. This was a long time coming. This confirmation class started and was going to be confirmed in 2020, and you all know what happened then. And so it's been a long time, but we are so pleased that Peter has come forward to be confirmed today and to affirm his baptism. So Peter, Manuel, Rodriguez, we are glad that you are here today. And I will turn it over to Andy.
Thank you very much. I only met Peter, not last week, I think, but the week before that, when Sarah Lynn reviewed Peter's credo. It was great to get to know him in that brief period of time. And there were a couple things that struck me. His value of family, his talk a couple times about your mom and dad, that he approaches everything with really hard work, whatever the task, so that it can be done as well as possible. His credo was very cool. It started out with these words: I question a lot of things. I question a lot of things. That is the task of a disciple. I question a lot of things. And then it ended with a line equally cool. The point is to value what is right now, and what will be in the future. Because life is a journey, get this, that's only in the packing stages. Such depth. So, Peter, do you believe in God, the creator of the universe, who calls us each into a relationship with God and with one another?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the revealing expression of God's love come down to dwell among the human family?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit as the force by which we are brought into closer harmony with the will of God?
I do.
Peter, do you then, as a person who has declared your faith before this gathered company, do you pledge to enter into an honest and open relationship of mutual support and nurture with the membership of this church? Do you pledge to maintain this body through your personal efforts and talents? Do you pledge to further the work of God's realm and the church universal by studied and prayerful efforts to serve all humanity after the manner of Jesus Christ? And finally, do you pledge to challenge the limits of your faith? Keep questioning through education, prayer, reflection, and examination?
I do, with the help of God.
Would you please rise in body or spirit as we do when we make covenants? In acknowledging Peter as a gift of God in your midst, Do you also acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ and the responsibility that God places upon you as you welcome him as a full and equal member in your midst?
We rejoice to receive Peter as a gift from the hand of a loving Creator. With humility and hope, we accept the obligation which is ours to love and nurture him and to walk with him in Christian faith by teaching and example. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit and the support of the church that we may together be good stewards of this gift.
Let's pray together.
Almighty God,
who in baptism receives your servants into the church, restores their brokenness, and promises eternal life.
Increase this glad day, increase in Peter the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Grant him love for others, joy in serving you, peace in disagreement, patience in suffering, kindness towards all people, goodness in evil times, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, and self-control in all things. Strengthen Peter for ministry in the world. Through Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide. Amen.
Please be seated. Peter, remember your baptism. You were this big, a little itty bitty baby. And it happened right here, right? Remember your baptism, the path you have chosen to express your faith, and the love and care of God. Remember, be thankful. By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the Church Universal. Today, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place. We celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Would you please rise in body or spirit and remember that everybody in the congregation has blessing hands. And hold out your hands towards Peter. Put them however he's comfortable with. Let us pray. Loving God, who has been with Peter since you knit him together in his mother's womb, by the power of your Holy Spirit, confirm in him the promises made on his behalf by his parents at his baptism. Make your presence known to him throughout life, so he knows you as the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. And shall we say together the covenant of our church?
As the Lord's free people, we join ourselves by a covenant of the Lord into a church of Christ, engaging to walk with the Lord in worship and in service, confident that the Lord has yet more truth and light to break out of the Holy Word. And our mission statement. Our mission is to express the love and welcome of Christ through word and action in our community and the wider world.
We promise it's not in bold, but you all say that.
We promise you our continuing friendship and prayer as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. We greet you now as a full member of the church, and as such, now
welcome
by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses to our risen Savior. Welcome to the First Congregational Church of Natick.
Thanks be to God.
And so, Peter, we welcome you to our church.
Please be seated.
We have a certificate of confirmation, and we ask you to sign the book. You got it.
As Peter signs the book indicating his membership in the church, the kids can head off to godly play.
Way over to the door that way. I'll follow you this time. How's that? Can you do that?
And Peter and his entourage can be seated. We have been given all the tools we need to love one another. Through our talents and treasures and time, we can create God's commonwealth right here on earth. Our contributions, no matter how large or small, will craft a world which reflects God's love. This morning's offering will be received. You can place it in a plate at the back door or over here. You may mail it to the church, or you may give online at firstchurchnatick.org. Would you please, Tom, go ahead. Would you please rise for a doxology? Let's pray together. Generous, abundant, and loving God, bless our offerings of presence, ability, and resources as we participate as your co-creators. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. When the advocate comes, whom
Excuse
I will-
me, Hank, could you raise the volume a bit?
When the advocate comes, whom will I send to you from the Father? The Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here ends the reading for today.
Last Sunday was an important day in the Big C Church, right? Not just this one, but the Big C Church. It was Pentecost, the day we remember and celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among the disciples, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was a fun day here at church. Lots of people in their fiery frippery, people wearing red, some wearing flames, kids, remember, tromping around the sanctuary, waving their flames in the air as we sang those Pentecosty kind of hymns, and mobiles hanging from the ceiling. It was great. I had a lot of fun. Today is also Confirmation Sunday, the day when Peter assumed his responsibility for the promises made on his behalf when he was baptized years ago. But, and according to the Christian calendar, it's also Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday, that's exciting, right? It's the day we celebrate the triune nature of God. You know, the three in one, one in three thing. Now, please stay with me here. Don't let your eyes glaze over thinking about this piece of Christian doctrine known as the Trinity. Most people, including me, have a hard time wrapping their minds around this doctrine. Some people might refer to the Trinity as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Others might use Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Others still may use Rock, Redeemer, and Friend. Yeesh, as they say in the original Greek. Thankfully, this is the only Sunday in the whole Christian year when we celebrate a Christian theological doctrine. I mean, it's not even an event like Christmas or Easter, and it's not celebrating something in the life of our community like a confirmation or All Saints Day. It's the one day that we're invited to think about this really complex, complicated concept of the Holy Trinity. Well, as the angel said to Mary, fear not. When our family was in Russia 12 or so years ago, Maddie and Connie Burr will tell you that we spent way too much time, way too much time in churches and chapels of all sizes. Honestly, in Russia, they're almost, the churches and chapels are on almost every corner. And each one was decorated with gorgeous icons and paintings. They were filled with so much history and religious symbolism. One day, we were hanging out with our dear friend Ludmila. We were in downtown Pskov, the capital of the region, and we'd spent an hour or two in the cathedral. And then when we left through these huge golden doors and gathered on the steps outside, Ludmila pointed across the river to the Trinity Church. And she called our attention to the ornament on the tall spire that was covered in gold leaf. Now, remember, Ludmila is a native Russian speaker, and English is at least her third or fourth language. So she pointed to the ornament and said, "That is a very, very special ornament, and it's very important to the Russian people. It has a long history here in Pskov." Karen Null and I were listening really intently. Maddie and Connie Burr, 12 and 13 at the time, were yawning and rolling their eyes. Ludmila kept on. "That," she said, pointing again to the top of the spire, "that is the, trying to find just the right word. That is the holy pigeon." "The holy pigeon? Are you sure about that?" "Da, da, da," she said with a totally straight face. "It was the holy pigeon that descended on Jesus at his baptism." Some things get lost in translation, don't they? But for the rest of our trip, we were on the lookout for the holy pigeon. In her book, Circle of Quiet, Madeline Lengel repeats Dorothy Sayers' story of a Japanese man who's politely listening to some earnest Christian who's trying to explain the concept of the Trinity. The Japanese man was very puzzled. He said, "Honorable Father," very good. "Honorable Son," very good. "Honorable Bird," I don't understand at all. Lengel observes that very few of us understand Honorable Bird, except to acknowledge that without its power and grace, nothing would be written, painted, or composed at all. To say anything more than that about the creative process, she says, is like pulling all the petals off a flower in order to analyze it and ending up having destroyed the flower. Trying to get our minds around the Trinity, even if it's only once a year, is like that. It's confusing and complicated and challenging. But here's the thing. As complicated and seemingly irrelevant as it might appear, whether you understand the Holy Spirit as a dove or a pigeon, the arrival of the honorable bird on the scene that we celebrated last week expands our relationship of God from two, the Father and the Son, to three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which gives us a deeper and richer way to think about God. Even as weird as it is, the arrival of the Holy Spirit moves us from two to three. And that is a very powerful thing, from two to three. There's something incredibly powerful, creative, and even liberating in that notion. Think for a minute about the dynamics of three. When you're generating ideas, if you have just one, you're either in or you're out. Up or down, right or wrong, it's very simplistic. With two, you're stuck sort of in that same kind of predicament because you have that polarization. It's either or. But with three, right? Three suggestions or three issues, suddenly a whole world of possibilities and combinations open up. With three, the power of creativity gets unleashed with all of its energy and excitement. think about that silly proverbial stool with three legs. One is too precarious. Two is still tipsy, but you add the third leg and it achieves stability. Or think about three dimensions. One dimension is just too simplistic. Two dimensions is flat. But suddenly, with three dimensions, the truth becomes more evident. And so it is with the Trinity and God's truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, says Jesus, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Trinity is a reminder that the central metaphor for God for Christians is the one that guides us into all truth. Is three in one, one in three. Diverse, yet united. Sometimes I think of it like this. I am Andrew Clark Burr. I'm a father, but that's not all of me. I'm an uncle, but that's not all of me. I'm a husband, and that too isn't all of me. My relationships with my daughters is different than my relationships with my nephew and nieces. My relationship with Karen Nell, my wife, is different from them. Yet I'm each one of those things. I'm each one of those things and more than just those things. To really know me, all of me, the truth of me, you have to comprehend all the varied expressions of me, the fullness of who I am. Does that make any sense? The other one that's common is water, ice, steam. Right? Water, ice, and steam, they're all different expressions of the same thing. The Trinity may seem like a strange and convoluted theological doctrine, this honorable bird, the holy pigeon, the Trinity thing, but it helps us to understand something about God, a truth so complex that it's essentially beyond our ability to understand. I don't know about any of you, but on this Sunday of weird doctrine, I'm thankful for the holy pigeon who arrived with a rush of wind and fiery flames and tongues of fire under the door. That honorable bird that flew into our lives to advocate for us, to comfort us, and to create community out of diversity. So after church, I think I'm going to do some bird watching from the Adirondack chairs in front of the church. Won't you join me? Thanks be to God. Amen. As we enter into this time of prayer, I ask you to keep on your hearts and in your prayers everybody that's listed in the bulletin, to keep Barbara and, what's your dad's name? Frank. I'm not going to try the name, but it's in the bulletin. Podawarni. There it is. To keep Chris Gabron's wife, Kerry, his daughters, Meredith, Riley, and Berkeley, and his parents, Charles and Laura, in your prayers. Remember the people of Ukraine, the people of Russia, the people of other countries who have received people from those countries, those that suffer from gun violence, the first responders who run in, and the healthcare workers who care for them. Remember Patty Griffith, and prayers for Cousin Jean as she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer and is having surgery tomorrow. For my cousin Ian, who's 60 years old, who passed away last week and whose body lies at the coroner's office in Vancouver. Let's find his sister to give her this sad news. Do people here have joys, celebrations, concerns, prayers? Yay. Lots of celebration in your family. Others? Shall we pray together? O God of mystery, ministry, and mission, we admit that sometimes we're confused by all the aspects of you, that concept of the Trinity. We can speak the words of 3 in 1, but our minds are boggled and confused. You are so great and your work is so awesome that we try to find ways to express your work and witness in our lives. From before the beginning of time, you offered love and creative wisdom as you created all that is. In the person and ministry of Jesus, you taught us more clearly about your nature, your love, and gave us ways that we should live peacefully together. The Holy Spirit is offered as our guardian and guide, faithfully with us all our days. Full and complete is your love for us, your creation. As we continue to pray, we pray for safe travels and a safe return home for the Hannahs and the Evers. Help us again to be more faithful to you. Give us opportunities to witness and serve. Heal and restore us. Equip us for ministry in your name. We ask these things in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all. So now we pray as we've been taught by Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn? And now, as we leave this holy place, in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.